Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Okay, we are back.
Still here.
Yeah. Don't say it so mad.
I didn't mean it. I think it's funny.
You did
actually.
Say that you were voluntold for this, which I think is hilarious. I had never heard that phrase before, but that happens.
You never heard that? You never heard voluntold before?
I left corporate America like 12 years ago, so no. Actually, 14
years ago.
That's
not where I heard it.
Really?
Yeah.
You heard it in church? Where you frequent? Which I love about you. So churchy.
Yeah, probably was the first place I heard it.
Yeah.
I might have heard it in corporate.
Yeah.
From other churchy people.
What's
though.
The last thing you got voluntold to do besides this podcast?
Might take me too long to come up with it.
My parents been trying to voluntold me stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And eventually it's like, no.
So there are attempts at voluntoldism that don't work out.
Okay.
So it might have been just this morning.
Really?
So my mom has two of her great grands today.
Okay.
And didn't want to just have them over to the house, turn on the TV, and just let them have free reign. Because sometimes it's like that. So she wanted to take them to the movies. So we had this conversation about what movie was appropriate. And then it was kind of like, well, what are you doing? I know you're busy, what are you doing?
Can you take the kids?
No, she wasn't asking for that. I think what she really was hoping was that my 16-year-old daughter would kind of be big cousin tag along so she could help. And so she didn't voluntold me to coordinate with my daughter to see if that was going to work out. But that was kind of the expectation.
Yeah.
And I did it, but my daughter wasn't available. So then I'm...
Oh, no. Now you're doing it.
Gently letting her down.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Because my mom knows I do too much.
Yeah.
And she's like, nope,
that's nice.
This is literally going to consume... I would have pockets of my weekend all spoken for if I did that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Little fight that happens in our family. My mom will have kids from the church come over. And then be like, hey, Alan and Jay, what are y'all doing? Why don't you?
You're the youth leaders for the day?
I'm saying like,
impromptu.
I'm fine with it. But my wife be like, why did you ask them to come over if you plan on dumping them on us? Like, why didn't you just find out in advance if we were free?
Right.
I do hate when people be like, what are you doing? Like, what am I doing?
I don't like answering that question either because, or it's kind of like, are you busy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm always busy
mm-hmm.
because they think that if you're not busy in that moment, that means you're available to do what they want you to do.
Yeah.
It's passive aggressive.
Yeah. Are you good with saying no?
I'm much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much better.
I'm getting better. Understanding that no is a complete sentence.
No is a complete sentence. I'm still in the space of no with an explanation.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to explain.
Yeah. My parents never explained when they said no. So they were training us.
They sure didn't.
They
so
just said no.
How do we turn out like this?
Yeah. And they only took but so many rebuttals to the no.
Before
you got that look.
I got a rebuttal for you.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Do you got McDonald's money?
Exactly. There's a modern version of that. We just experienced the other day, but
we'll get
into it.
No, what is
so
that?
My daughter does this thing where she's like, if I get up early and I'm on time and ready for school early, can we go to Dunkin'?
Okay.
She wants to go to Dunkin' before school and get her fancy, overly sweetened drink or a sandwich or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have money? And she, I knew the answer. She knew the answer. And I said, if you're ready early, I'll take you, but you can only spend the cash that I have in my wallet.
Okay.
So she's thinking she's ordering on the app. She's about to get a sandwich, a donut, a drink, the whole, I'm like, I'm not spending $10 on this. Long story short, she gets out the car. I hand her six singles and she goes, what can I get with this? I was like, I don't know. She was like, you don't have any coins or anything? I go in the console of the car. I find four quarters and maybe five or six dimes. Okay. And she looked at me like, are you kidding me right now? She was so embarrassed to walk into Duncan.
With change?
With change and singles, because it's, and I'm like, you have no idea. Yeah. I already told you, you can only spend the cash that I had. But she was like, I didn't know you meant actual cash.
She don't understand the struggle of going to the gas station with four quarters, like, let me get a dollar on three, she, on pump three.
Well, you can't buy nothing.
Yeah. That might
for a dollar at a gas station, you might get some fumes.
Yeah, some fumes. That's gas fumes. That might get you back to your crib, and that's about it. So Black parents in the 80s, completely different animal than Black parents today.
Yep.
That's a fact.
And sometimes I think I'm grateful for the progress, but other times I'm like, I think they had it right.
But don't you have moments as a parent where you're like, my parent would have killed me if I had this response.
Exactly. So I also say in those situations, they are this way because it's my fault.
Yeah, we're soft.
Yes.
Yeah, we're soft.
We're raising soft kids.
Although our parents today are way softer than they were when they were raising us.
Oh, to Gary grandkids?
Yes.
I most definitely.
And to us, like, well, why don't you let the boy do that? Like, you never would let me do that.
Exactly.
Okay. That's not what we're talking about today.
Not at all.
So we met with a client this week, and this was a client who is like decently wealthy, like millions of dollars in the bank, no mortgage, and yet on her own, unprompted, she says to us, I think I need to cut back on my budget. And we're like, okay, why? Like, we help you with your budget. Like, what makes you feel like that? And we just started working with this client, so we also asked, well, did your last advisor tell you you needed to cut back? Like, where is this coming from? She's like, yeah, I just feel like, you know, I got this costing that and this costing that. It's just too much. Like, I just know I'm going to run out of money. Like, you know. And it just reminded us that, like, there's some people, no matter how well they're doing, they just don't feel financially secure.
Right.
Some people need something to worry about.
Yeah.
And I hate to be sexist, but I often find we have a number of clients that are single women.
Mm-hmm.
Many are divorced. Some are
widows.
Some are widows. Where there's this feeling of I don't have anybody else to rely on.
Mm.
Parents are gone. Spouse gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very nervous about, no matter what you as a financial advisor tell me, I'm still going to be nervous.
I wonder if in the cases where they had been coupled or partnered, if it was a traditional scenario where the man took the lead on the finances.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but I had to tell this lady respectfully.
You good.
Stop tripping.
Right.
Like, yo, you're bugging. Like, we showed you the numbers. We've done the budgeting. We've done the forecasting. You're going to be okay.
Right.
And 5 minutes later, it's right back to worrying again. We had another client.
Was she worried about running out of money?
Yeah. She's like, yo, I know I'm going to run out of money.
Hmm.
Like, you know. Like, when did we show you a projection of you running out of money?
Right.
That's all up here.
So, you know, I've said it before, a big believer in behavioral finance. Something about her life experience with money is making her think that.
Yeah.
Despite us having quantified for her that her outcome is going to be very different than what she's feeling.
Yeah. And I dug into it more. She had a financial advisor in the 80s, 90s tell her that she needed to downsize her house. She was living in Manhattan and real estate values had gone up by mm-hmm. a lot. And the advisor rightfully said, hey, this would be a great time to sell. And why don't you consider going somewhere else?
Okay.
Because there will be a point in time where you are cash poor, asset rich. And
okay.
When we want to avoid that.
And did she do that?
And she did it. And it worked out well. But this was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, we're not saying that today. You're doing great.
Like, that was actually good advice at the time.
At the time.
And that's why she's in the position now.
Stuck in her head.
Yeah. Okay.
Had another client, literally, this is a man now. Now, again, not to say that women are the only ones that are tripping out mm-hmm. here. Male client says to me, you know, my wife is spending so much money. We need to downsize the house. We need
still
to sell.
Still blaming it on the woman, though.
Yeah, he kind of did. He's like, yeah, we need to sell. She doesn't understand. Like, we're going to be out of money. And I'm like, and this is a client who's a retiree. They've been with Momentum literally for 12 years. Like, they're one of our early clients.
Yeah.
They started out with $1 million. They've been retired. They're spending the dividends and interest. They still have over $1 million. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, we're going to run out of money.
Mm.
I'm like, are you?
Maybe they feel like things cost more, so the million that they had before won't get them as far.
But I'm saying,
what is it? It's something
like
behind that.
They're in their mid to late 70s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they started work with us, they were in their 60s mm-hmm. and retiring. And like, we did math and said, hey, you can spend even more than what you're spending and be okay.
They got a long-term care plan.
They've got
a plan, not insurance.
Yeah, they've got, the plan is to spend down the money.
Okay.
You know, and so I guess what we're getting at today is this concept of financial anxiety, this concept of financial worry, and how to get over it. Like, that's the topic that we're talking about. Let me give you some stats. 3/4 of working Americans today say they are stressed out about their personal finances. And this is higher than a year ago. This is about 5% higher than a year ago. More than half of Americans consider themselves to be living paycheck to paycheck. And that's up from 58% year ago.
That'll stress you out.
Yeah, certainly will. 7 in 10 Americans feel like they would need an annual salary of more than $150,000 a year to feel comfortable.
Okay.
Not a bad salary, but like, somebody's living in buttcrack Iowa. Like, that's not actually the name of the town. No disrespect to anyone in Iowa. We have a lot of listeners in Iowa.
We do.
But like, I think arbitrarily folks feel like they need this significant sum of money. And like, that sounds like the right number.
Are they locking on a number and don't really understand whether or not that number is needed? They have no context of knowing if it's enough, too much, somewhere in between.
Or if it just sounds good.
Right.
There's also this like lack of understanding of what it feels like to actually make that money.
Right.
Like, $150,000 is $12,500 per month. And I think they think that that gets deposited into their account on the first.
Taxes.
Yeah. More taxes.
Even more taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what are folks worried about specifically? What are the things that are on folks' minds? And this is from a survey. This is not our client base, but some of this is probably true. 1 is inflation. 2 is being able to afford the basic necessities of life, like food, healthcare, housing.
It's all up.
3, retirement security. That's a big one.
Yeah.
4, debt management. And 5, economic uncertainty.
Mm.
And so as we talk through these issues of anxiety, we'll get into a little bit of behavioral finance.
I'm so here for it.
And we'll get through some of the things that you can do to ease your financial pain so that you can
stop tripping. Or maybe we can say, calm down.
Yeah. That's more like politically correct. Calm down.
Man, you know.
You bugging.
They're equal in my mind. Just one is evokes feelings or memories of the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
And the other is.
Quiz. Which one is a higher magnitude? I'll give you some options. Bugging, tripping, wilding.
Wildin is at the top. You're okay. Doing the most.
Okay.
Wildin is at the top.
Then what's the second one?
I don't know. So we're going
from the top to the least. We got.
Yeah, Wildin is at the top.
Wildin, bugging, tripping.
I think it's in that order.
So bugging next?
Yeah.
Okay, I would agree with that.
Right. Like, bugging comes with an exclamation point.
Yeah. It also depends on how you say it emphatically, right?
Oh, goodness.
Like, if somebody's like, yo, you are bugging.
Okay.
That's a lot. Like, that.
And I feel like that's the only way people say it. Like, you can say tripping. You can be like, oh, she's just tripping.
Yeah.
Or you can be like, you tripping.
Yeah.
But bugging, to me, automatically comes with an exclamation point.
Correct.
Grammar geek here.
And I also think that this is, like, generational. I'm sure the young folks have something else, like geeking.
Yeah. I was talking to some 16-year-olds, and the one young man described himself as crashing out. And I was like, I went into full-on mom mode. Uh-huh. I'm like, son, are you okay? What does that mean? Because that sounded extreme to me.
Yeah, it does.
And my daughter's like, calm down.
Yeah.
It just means, it's like a emotional temper tantrum. It's like, there was so much going on. Okay. He just wanted to take a step back and I was like, okay, I just needed to know, because
Andrea's like, are you suicidal?
Do you need
the Lord? Can I pray for you?
The thing is, if I don't ask, and these are kids that are very comfortable talking to me.
Yeah.
And I think I have permission from their parents to go there. Mm-hmm. And I just needed to make sure they were okay. But anyway.
So crashing out would be a low, that'd be like tripping to us?
I'm not even sure. Because then when they started describing the things that were causing them to feel like they were crashing out, it was like, oh, you fine. You're just
tripping a little
bit. You're just tired. Like, go take a nap. You'll be fine. Anyway.
Okay. So why don't you break down, you start, we'll go bar for bar. Why don't you start? What are some things that folks can do to ease their financial fears?
I'm so glad you asked. Get some knowledge. Educate yourself. Be careful about where you get your information, but try to understand a little more about personal finance. You just want to be able to make informed decisions and feel good about your choices. Educated choices. You don't have to be an expert, but there is access to some plain English, easy to understand information. Listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. Read an article. There's some things out there for lay people, as we like to say. So just try to do that. Think about some of the areas that cause you the most anxiety. Yeah. Those are really the things you want to focus on. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were talking about the marriage dynamic and their money situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the parties to the couple was saying, oh man, I just spend too much when I stop at the store at the Wawa. And I could just cut down on my spending by doing that. But yet they had like mounds of credit card debt. And I'm like, so we focusing on the $10 thing. We're focusing on the wrong thing.
That was the man in the situation. Am I right?
It was.
I knew that.
How did you know that?
Because I just know how we do. like a lot of times.
You spend a lot of money at the Wawa?
Nah, the issue is like certain, like I think people automatically think that the dude in the relationship is the money expert. Mm-hmm. But often it's the wife. And like the piling up of credit card debt, I've found to be something that women tend to worry about and think about more than the dude a lot of times.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that, but I do know, and it's not always expertise. It's just who's actually pulling the trigger to pay bills.
Yeah.
Regardless of who earns or who earns the most, there's always going to be one person that has primary responsibility over paying for stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's the person who pays for the stuff that's more likely to worry because they know the most. They see the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I knew it.
You
I so knew it. I saw him. He ain't worried about the credit cards.
Alan is him.
Yeah.
He is him. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't that a thing now? People say he is him?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
They usually mean that in like a, like I am that man.
I know. I am aware of that, but...
All right. I think you brought up a good point is focusing in on that area. Like, I think there's a lot of folks with money anxiety that is generalized anxiety.
Yeah.
And it might be one specific thing that's really bothering them the most, but they're just generalizing their anxiety that anytime anyone mentions anything about money, they get stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be that it's debt. And maybe you need to not just listen to an investment podcast, but maybe listen to one that's about debt management.
Right. If you're going to take the time to educate yourself, do what works for you. For some people, it's... I'm not a big podcast person. I'm just not.
Okay. Even though you have a podcast, that's racist.
I have one? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. We're not going there today. If it's TV, television, do that. If it's reading books, do that. Whatever works for you.
I got one.
Yeah.
AI now. AI. Yeah. AI. I mean, look, it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I've started to use it a bit more. It at least is like an idea starter. So like you can almost create your own article. Like you could try to Google the article to find what you're looking for. Or you could just ask the AI, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of a debt of this and that and this. What do you think I should do? And it might give you some food for thought. It might give you some different tasks. It might give you some different ways to think about it as a conversation starter.
Right. So it's more about, I like how you framed the idea starter. And it's going to give you some factual information. AI is not a substitute for a professional or someone who's going to look at your situation comprehensively and customize what you're doing. So don't over-rely on.
Agreed. I'm going to tell you something funny.
The answer.
I've been using AI increasingly.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I typed in something and it gave me the answer partly in Chinese.
What? I'm so, like, oh, wow.
Like
really?
Literally in Chinese letters. I'm like, how?
Why would it do that though?
I don't know. It was like, glitching.
What did you say in
it
your prompt?
It was crashing. I was
crashing
speaking
out.
English. Yes, it was crashing out. So I'm saying like, it's going to produce some nonsense.
Which AI platform did you use for that? Are we saying that?
Yeah, I've been using a lot. I've been using Gemini, which is the Google one.
Yeah. I'm specifically curious on which one gave you Chinese output.
Gemini, which has been it's been very good.
Hmm.
I'm finding Copilot is like throwing up excuses all the time. Like Copilot be like, yeah, well, no one knows that. Like, what?
Copilot's like, I don't want to ride shotgun.
Copilot's like, that's not possible for anyone to know. Like, what? Yes, it is.
That's crazy.
I've used ChatGPT as well. But I just, because I'm already in Google, like right. Gemini is like right there.
Yeah.
And I hate Microsoft, so it's easy because there's an app, but
ooh.
I find that it's glitching a lot.
I'm not going to ask why.
No, Microsoft just feels it's like a invasive species in your life.
Hmm.
It's constantly encroaching on more and more of your life, and they're constantly making little tweaks and changes to make sure that you have to pay a subscription for their service.
And none of the others are doing that?
Yeah, but Microsoft is the grandfather of it.
Okay.
And I just... They're trying to always make me use Bing. Like, I'm not using Bing. Like, forget. I wish I could delete Bing from my computer.
So, real talk, I have a new computer.
Okay.
A new company provided computer.
That's
and
a good company. They got good benefits.
We do use the Microsoft Office suite.
Okay.
And
because you have to, because just like they make it so hard to not use.
Yeah. And I have not yet been successful at making Google Chrome, my preferred browser.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit annoyed by it.
Are you using Bing right now?
I'm using Bing right now.
Let's go to break. Like, I can't with you. You should have started with that.
I'm just saying.
We got Bing. We're going to break. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray,
and
Bing
we are
user.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Momentum.
Show. Advisor Show.
Advisor Show.
We're back. You know, there's somebody right now like, yo, I work at Microsoft and I am offended. Like, Bing is an incredible, I'm sure it's good. I'm just not using it because it's Microsoft and I got other choices. And is my search my choice?
It's all about change. Like, it's who moved my cheese. I had my Chrome browser. I knew where everything was. I don't have to. It's just the whole transition of a new device.
Yo, I'm going to, this you're going to be mad at this next statement, but this is an article that I read a few years ago. They did a study of
side-eyeing already.
They did a study of employers mm-hmm. looking to hire
mm-hmm.
and what were the right questions to ask. And you know, one of the most important questions for an interviewer to ask a potential hire is not questions about what your work experience is, et cetera. What browser did you use to fill out this application?
Really?
Because the person that uses the default browser on the computer,
they viewed them as lazy,
is a person who may not be willing to go above and beyond to find something that's a better fit.
Wow.
This was years ago. This was before Bing even came out.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah. Explorer.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so, really interesting.
But I'm not judging
mm-hmm.
because Microsoft has tried so hard to make sure that you can't figure out.
It said you're not judging, but
I'm not judging. Mm-hmm. Like, use Bing all you want. I can't lie. Every now and then, if Chrome or Firefox is acting up,
yep.
I'd be like, let me just go to Bing real quick.
Don't real talk nobody. Though, since we've already put it out there, when I tried to download Chrome, mm-hmm. Bing was like, you don't need that. I felt like I was interacting with a live human being. It was really like...
like a hater,
you,
too.
If you're using this, you don't need that. I was like, so you are going to own up to making it more difficult for me to use what I want to use?
Yeah. Yo, what if you went to call and order food from, like, your favorite Thai restaurant, and then the Chinese restaurant jumped on the phone like, you don't need that.
Right. It's just... Yeah, it was just really something.
What if you're going to go
But
buy?
It worked, because guess what? I'm still don't have...
Yeah.
I thought I tried to install Chrome, but
yeah.
It was either not successful or Bing is just like...
They put chestnuts in your path. That's what they did. So what if you were like walking into the Foot Locker to buy some Nikes, but you're wearing Reeboks and your Reeboks won't let you walk? They're like, no, you don't need those. You got these. We good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
all kind of examples.
I feel like that's an antitrust thing that the government needs to investigate. That they're trying to stop progress.
Got conspiracy theories okay. now.
So we're talking about financial fears, financial anxiety, not just browser.
What else can we do?
Yeah. So I think it's important to develop a plan. I know it's like Captain Obvious, but like, the plan
like how?
Has components to it. Like,
yes.
To me, the easiest one is the budget. Like, yep. There's a million budget softwares. There's
yep.
Mint.com. There's You Need a Budget. There's Dave Ramsey has a whole suite of apps to do some budgeting.
Yep.
It's cumbersome. It might make people feel broke or like you're constrained, but at least...
That part. The constraint. It's,
at least you
people
got...
People think budgets are restrictive. It tells you what you cannot do. But you got to face it. You can't fix it if you don't face it. That's a churchy thing, but it's truth.
Your budget might be as simple as we've done shows on different types. We did a show called The Budget Buffet, and we went through a bunch of different types. One simple budget is to just put your savings away first and then spend the rest.
Yeah. I also like this idea of having, and we're probably going to get to it, designating a percentage. If you work in percentages, you can still only work within the limits of what you have.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea of designating a percentage that you call guilt-free spending.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Just like you don't even have to worry about it, because the overthinker over here, when I first tried to do our family budget, was like breaking it down to just so much detail that hubby was like,
I ain't doing all that.
This is too much.
Sometimes you got to put your foot down in a relationship. girl, you bugging.
And I was like overwhelmed by it myself, because now if I've created it, that means we got to track it.
Hubby was
and
like,
it's just too much.
It's my prerogative.
It's just like, you know, it's like, man, I ate lunch out 3 times already. It's only Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's just too much. Just say, hey, here's an X amount of percentage we're going to dedicate to guilt-free spending, and you just spend freely. Do what you want.
Yeah. I think, to me, the concept of having a budget is really just trying to give you the sense of control back
Yep.
Because when you don't have a budget, you might have this feeling of being out of control. Like people are debiting your account for stuff. Maybe you've got a joint account, your spouse is out there spending, and you wouldn't have authorized that if you had been asked. And so at least having a game plan might make you feel a bit more comfortable.
Yep. It's not restrictive. It might feel restrictive, but it's actually very freeing.
You can make the budget and put in there the stuff that you want. Yeah. Budget your Starbucks in there. I don't care.
It's just a framework.
Facts. And these different web browsers are free, by the way, if you decide to get you a different one besides Bing. I'm just saying.
We're back on that.
part of another financial plan may be just some debt repayment. Like maybe that's the thing that you need to plan out. If that's the thing that's causing you anxiety, couple ways to really address debt. One is really good for your psychology, and that's the snowball method. That's when you start with your smallest bills or credit cards. You pay those off first, and then you work your way up to the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Right? That snowball strategy is one that gives you that sense of accomplishment. Like, yo, I got rid of Macy's, I got rid of Best Buy, and I'm working on Victoria's Secret.
They have a credit card?
I'm sure they do. Everybody got a credit
card.
Of course. Yeah.
They used to have really great clothes. Yeah. Not lingerie. I'm talking actual clothes. Anyway. There was a season in my life where I ordered clothes because they carry talls. I'm a tall girl, so yeah. They carry talls. And it was like cute clothes. I don't think that happens.
I can't
anymore.
Lie. I used to love Love Spell, that little spray they had.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
That was good spray.
Mm-hmm.
You a perfume girl, I presume?
Not too much.
Oils?
Very sensitive.
Oils you use? Egyptian musk? Things like that?
Lotion.
Lotions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Other things that are part of a financial plan is really automating things, right? Going back to that budgeting, you know, have some of your direct deposit go into some account across town where you don't have a debit card.
Yep.
Like that's part of getting some financial control, because I love when I forget that I've got money somewhere and then I, you know, am in a jam and I'm like, oh, yeah, I could run
right
over there and get it.
Yep.
But that's part of having a plan is automating some things. Your 401k is also automated, hopefully.
Yeah, make it easy on yourself. If you think about it, in your 401k, those are salary deferrals. I know that's a technical term, but the money is going out automatically. So whether you log in and check your balance every day or not, you're constantly going to see, even if the market is down or your returns are down, you're constantly adding money. And so it's automated. It just happens.
Yeah.
Make it easy on yourself.
Other things you can do is your goal setting. Now, here I'm conflicted on this. I am one for what they call BHAG goals.
Please explain.
Big, hairy, audacious goals. I like having outlandish, there's no way you could get that, but I want it type of goals.
Okay.
Because if it weren't for those type of goals, like I wouldn't be sitting here right now as... Yeah. The founder of a firm that's as big as it is, that's doing all the things it is doing.
Yeah. It's like, we are all up in the 90s right now, the 80s and 90s feels like, but do you remember Video Soul?
Yeah.
Donnie Simpson?
Yes.
You know what he used to say?
I didn't have cable though.
Okay.
So I would watch it at my friend's house.
Okay. He would end the show with, reach for the moon, even if you miss... You'll be among the stars.
That's crazy. I've heard that many times. I never knew it was Brother Donnie Simpson.
Well, I'm not saying he originated it. Okay, that's just my reference point. I would remember him saying it. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Those kind of goals. Just stretch goals, whatever you want to call it. Be bold.
So I'm for the big, hairy, audacious goals, the reaching for the star. Like, I think people got to dream big. I'm big on that. But I also think when it comes to financial goals, there needs to be some aspect of reality that's put in.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it might be frustrating.
So I'm with you. I like having the ambitious goal. But I'm an accountant, so it's rooted in reality. So I actually describe myself as a realistic optimist or sometimes an optimistic realist. Okay. I don't always know which one is primary, but that's totally who I am.
Yeah. No, I love it. The thing about realistic financial goals is this, like how many times have you heard, like, I was guilty of this. I remember being like, a 22-year-old college grad, like, yeah, I'll be a millionaire by 30. And what's funny, I remember saying that to a buddy that you know that I went to high, that we both went to high school with, and we were like 29.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
he checked you on and he was like, so.
No, he was like, yeah, I still have the goal of being a millionaire by 30. And I'm like, you ain't nowhere close. Like, bro, you ain't nowhere close. Like maybe you should change your goal a little bit.
Why did you crush his dream, Alan?
I'm thinking it. I didn't say it. I'm thinking it.
Mm.
Like, at that point, like, by this, like, when you say it at 22, you got 8 years of runway.
Right.
You never worked hardly before. Not a real job. And so it may seem like it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but when you're 29, bro. Like,
so you knew him well enough to know that he wasn't on track.
Oh, big time.
Okay.
Knew.
All right.
Like, sometimes we have these goals that are like completely not rooted in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be frustrating to someone who's like, dang, I ain't hit my goal.
Right. Like, hey, Alan, I was thinking about becoming a financial advisor.
Oh, my God. I'll never
go there. Oh, that's cute. You should go work in a call center and learn about investing. What? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm walking out of the studio. I'm walking out.
I know I lied to the audience. I told them we were over it, that I was over it. We were good.
Yo, I'm so glad.
But it did make me think of that, though.
Yeah. But yeah. Yo, I put a little chip on your shoulder.
You did.
I did.
I cannot lie.
Yes.
It's the same with the conversation I had with the other gentleman,
yeah,
who I'm actually going to thank for publicly on LinkedIn. I'm going to go tell him. There was a Harvard Business Review article that was published recently, and it said, you don't have to have all the job qualifications in order to apply.
Yeah.
So it's like those two things together. Put a chip on my shoulder. So thank you, Alan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. By the way, every person that ever tells me they want to be a financial advisor, I talk all of them out of it.
I know, because you got to be a little bit crazy to do it. And it's hard. It's hard.
True.
Yeah. Anyway.
But like, going back to these goals, like, have the audacious goal, but like also have some realistic financial goals and also be willing to make some adjustments. I'd rather you adjust your goal than feel defeated,
mm-hmm.
than feel stressed out, than feel like a failure, than to start worrying.
You can put positive words around all of it and still be effective. Recalibrate, reset, pivot.
Yeah. Because, like, not everything needs to happen overnight. Like, a lot of these things are going to happen over many, many years and maybe decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so be flexible.
Yep. Focus on the positive. Mm. I already talked about being an optimist, and maybe that's not your nature. But track your progress. See how you're doing. How are you doing compared to what you thought you were going to do?
Now, is that something you do with your clients? Like, I know you often start with early in the relationship, you start mm-hmm. with a retirement projection. Do you go back and review it with them?
We are actively doing that now. Like, sometimes it'll be something that happens in their lives that will cause us, either myself or them, to say, hey, let's check in on this. Other times it's just market news, whatever they think is happening, and we'll check in on it. But yeah, that is the idea, right? This is ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just find that as much as the market may have thrown you a curveball, often you're still on track if you're doing your part of putting away the money you're supposed to put away.
Yep.
Making sure that it gets invested.
Yep.
Not taking out 401k loans.
Right.
Right? Like,
yeah, I think the hardest part is when you're engaging with clients often, and we try, is we're making assumptions about things that happen annually and based on averages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to comprehend that if you have one quarter where you're not getting the returns that are close to the average annual that we used in our assumptions,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to be off track? And it's like, this is one quarter out of 20 years that we plan for. It's not going to move the needle one way or the other, positively or negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes the hard part.
Yeah.
But yeah, we check in and see how we're doing.
So what about celebrating your achievements? Like, do you find there are moments where you can tell your client, hey, you should celebrate this? Like, this is a milestone.
Absolutely.
What are some of those moments?
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend who is a former client. She didn't follow me when I left Maryland and came here.
She tripping.
No.
She's bugging.
But I remembered that once upon a time, she told me, my goal is to have $1 million in investments.
Okay. Good goal.
So, of course, my follow-up question was, why? Like, why? Yeah. Where'd that number come from? Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we had the conversation about, well, as long as you can do all these five things that you told me were really important to you, mm-hmm. if you did it and you only had $800,000, yeah. you still think of that as a failure? Anyway, we were talking recently. She was thinking about a career pivot. And I said, you know, I remembered that you said you wanted to have $1 million in investment assets. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen your portfolio in 3 years, but I have no doubt that you're already there.
Yeah.
She was like, how did you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, because we made decisions together that certainly didn't guarantee that you would be there, but I'm like, there's no way that you would not have met that goal.
Wow.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
She'll be back.
I don't know. We'll see.
No, she will be.
She's exploring becoming a financial advisor, believe it or not.
Oh, she's fucking. She's tripping.
I told her not to do it. No, I didn't. I didn't at all.
That's good. I was on a panel discussion at a conference this week, and a woman who I consider to be one of my big sisters in the financial advisory business said to me that this was a real life thing that happened to her. She walked into a financial advisor conference and went to introduce herself and said, hey, I'm XYZ. I work as an advisor at this firm. And the guy literally said to her, but you're a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
This week.
You're a financial advisor.
2024, but this week.
She said that it happened in her life. I don't know when it happened. It may have been 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people out here that think you're not qualified just off the gender.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced that.
Yeah.
We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's important to celebrate your achievements. Like Andrea mentioned, like there's this arbitrary milestone that someone had. That $1 million threshold is a big one for some. I think others, paying off a mortgage.
Yes.
That's a big one that should be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Retiring for real.
Retiring for real. Yeah, yes.
Like done.
Completely done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever it is that was in the notes from the meeting, right? Because everyone has different goals. Sometimes it's you want to take this trip and mm-hmm. you've saved the money and you know how much it costs to do it and, mm-hmm. and you have it. So now you're planning.
Yeah.
Or you actually took the trip.
You know what I find too though about sometimes the achievement of goals? Like there was a couple that we were working with who when we met, they had a number they needed to hit. They were investing very aggressively to get to this number. Mm-hmm. And once they got to that magic number,
mm-hmm.
everything was going to be different. Retire, you know, vacation home, everything that they had promised to themselves.
What happened?
Blew past the number.
Mm-hmm.
And just kept living the same old life. And the wife is like, and I'm like, bro, like,
you did it.
Like, you did it. Yeah. And now you're getting a whole conveyor belt of excuses of why it's different this time.
Mm.
But I think it's really important, like as much as these goals are often arbitrary, I think it's really important to have milestones that when they are achieved, it's an inflection point.
Yeah.
And if it was good enough for you back then to say that if I get to this number,
right,
I'm going to do something differently,
mm-hmm.
we got to honor that in some kind of ways.
Right. Because we show enough going to look Ooh. At when we get to a point and we're not on track, we're going to look at that.
Yeah.
So you might as well do the same for the positive.
I love it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about people out here tripping, bugging, glitching, crashing out, wilding, in order.
We are so from a certain generation.
We're having a good time, but we're trying to get you in a position to not worry so much.
Yep.
We're going to go to break and we'll be right back. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. check them out.
So we're back. People still out here worrying.
Still tripping.
Still glitching. Crashing out. Luncheon.
Luncheon was in there for a little bit.
Yeah, luncheon. That was like a DC one.
Out to lunch. Yeah. Is that where the... Yeah, that makes sense. That's a DC one. That makes sense.
Luncheon.
Yep.
You luncheon, young. That's what they would say. I grew up in Jersey, but I spent just about every summer in PG County in Maryland. And they was luncheon out there.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're talking about ways to ease some of our financial stress and worry and anxiety.
Seek help.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just too prideful.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to ask for help. We don't want to acknowledge that we have some anxieties around this stuff. So what does help look like? Could be a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You might just need to talk through with somebody the fact that you have these anxieties or fears or stress and sort of examine or explore what's causing that.
I'm glad you said therapist because sometimes it's beyond the realm of logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like your advisor has shown you all the projections. They've done all the stress testing on those projections and you're still not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
More people need therapy. And maybe that's a topic to bring up with your therapist. Like, why am I so worried about this?
Right. Yeah. Just get to the root of why, or like my daughter says, why are you like this?
Yeah.
All the time, way too often. But seriously, consider talking to a therapist to help you deal with and come up with ways to cope with that type of stress.
You talked about asking for help. Maybe there's somebody in your family, your church family, maybe it's a friend that's good with their money. And like, I think that's one of the greatest friendships is when you can actually talk to somebody about things that you're worried about in a way that you're not being judged or charged a fee. Right? Like my dad is a great financial wizard.
Mm-hmm.
My dad never took the Series 7 exam a day in his life, but he's helped a lot of folks with their budgets, thinking about investing for the future. Like, he's not a stock whiz, but I'm saying, like, he understands these big level concepts. It might be your pastor.
Right. Yeah. Could be. Other friends and family members, you know, just like Alan said, if they seem like they have it all together, just ask. Just like, who would you recommend? Or how would you, or, you know, help me figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
It could mean talking to a financial advisor, right?
Yeah.
That can kind of help you with the, you know, quantifying and putting some numbers around it to help get you on track. Yeah. Or just see if you're already on track. Maybe sometimes the financial advisor will tell you, you're good. Keep doing what you're doing.
Maybe even talk to a girl one.
Maybe even possibly consider maybe... Yeah.
A girl financial advisor. No one calls themselves a girl one, by the way. I'm just being funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, what's really funny is how you laugh so hard at your own jokes. It's the funniest thing to me. Like when you are overcome and I'm just like, this is hilarious.
You gotta believe your own stuff.
Into your own jokes. It makes me laugh. Your reaction to your own jokes makes me laugh so hard. But I'm just doubled over with laughter. It's the funniest thing.
I'm an equal opportunity laugher because I laugh at your jokes too.
Yeah, but...
You know what? I love bringing you way off script and like learning how much you know about, like, I will call them useless facts for lack of a better term.
I'm cultured.
Yes. That's another way to
look at
it.
Across multiple cultures.
Yes.
But, you know, you're hearing a bit of it.
Yes, I love it.
Through this medium.
So other things you can do to reduce your financial anxiety, we got to stop comparing ourselves to other people. And I think social media is one of these things that is like ruining people's brains. I heard
facts.
Someone say recently that teenagers are not teenagers, they are screenagers.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And we are all becoming screenagers.
We are. The pressures and that, like, they are under.
Like social media, like it is designed by folks that understand psychology and they are looking to influence you to spend more time on their platform. And one of the side effects is that it's eroding your self-esteem.
It's literally someone's job. Oh, what do you do for a living? I'm an influencer. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad.
It's
everywhere. It's pervasive.
Yep.
There's folks living lavishly. Like how, like almost every day.
Or had the appearance of living lavishly.
Yeah, word. Mm-hmm. Almost every day I see videos of, here's what it's like to be a 20-year-old person that makes $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they just show them walking around shopping. Like, you don't know that they make $20 million, $10 million a year.
Number one.
You don't know that they're even 20 years old.
Number two.
Right? Like, and you don't know that they are actually buying and doing those things. It might be all props. There's a song that says they'll do anything for clout. Like, jokers are out here clout chasing. You don't know that song. That's not,
I don't know that one.
That's not a him.
I don't know that.
Okay, that's Migos. Okay.
Okay. But I know who Migos is, so there I get credit for that.
So speaking of rap, have you been paying attention to this Drake?
Oh my gosh.
Kendrick beef. Have you picked a side?
I did not pick a side. Okay. I did not listen directly to the nature of the beef, but I am aware that it exists.
Okay.
And people are declaring winners.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Spoken like a true former auditor. Like, I'm aware that it exists. I've not delved deeper into the details.
It's too much. Wasn't we having a conversation about how it felt like it was 1994 again?
There was rap beef.
The Knicks were winning.
Yeah.
Something else was happening.
Big shout out to the Knicks, by the way. We're recording this before the Game 7, FYI, of the Indy series. Hopefully they're playing Boston right now. We don't know.
It'll be exciting.
Yeah. Other things you can do, I think focusing on gratitude is one of those things that can change your attitude.
Have an attitude of gratitude.
Take time to appreciate what you already have. I firmly believe that you can't get more until you first show appreciation for what you have.
Count your many blessings. Name them one by one.
Count your many blessings. See what God has done. I've attended a service or
two. I'm impressed, Alan. Okay? I'm impressed.
Focus on what you can control.
That's a big one. Some things you just cannot control. You cannot control the stock market or predict it or time it. You can't control it. You cannot control. You can influence how much you get paid, but you can't really fully control how much you get paid. But you can control how much you spend and what you spend your money on. But if you focus on the things you can control, it'll give you a feeling of being in control and perhaps worry less.
So we've given a lot of good tips and strategies.
But we got to wrap it up.
Let's put a bow on it, Andrea. Yep. Go ahead and take us home.
So I personally think the most important thing to keep in mind is managing your finances is not a one and done situation.
Well,
it's a journey, not a destination. So what happens when you go on a journey? Sometimes you encounter roadblocks. Sometimes you have to take a different path.
Pivot.
Got to pivot. Sometimes there are detours. You don't know if that stuff is lying ahead for you or not. But it's not about, you want to still make sure you get to your destination safely, but how you get there could be different and you're going to have to make changes along the way.
And that's it.
That's really it.
So we are the Momentum Advisors. We'll be back next week. I think that's safe to say. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.